Good to see everybody. I tell you what, we're going to go to Romans chapter 11 tonight. And before we do, did you see Timmy out there?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Before we do, let's just pray. Y'all remember Lori, Giles? They had come here quite a bit, off and on. I haven't seen them in a while, but I keep in touch by Facebook and text messaging. Her mother had surgery today. Things went great. Just a sweet family. I'd love to see them back. And then Sean has surgery, her husband, this Friday. He broke his hand in a karate exhibition or something. But so anyway, y'all remember them. But it's neat when they text you and they ask you about things like that because, I like to keep in touch and I just have a hope that maybe they'll come back and see us. So remember the Giles family.
Grandson's with us tonight, but she started
chemotherapy the other day. It is stage 4. Okay. So
just please pray.
Okay. Anybody else?
I spent about an hour sat really on the phone with my mother. Hear her the gospel, and she understood the correct gospel.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you want to talk about information, I can talk to her.
Wow.
Allow me to.
That is great. That is something to rejoice about. That is awesome. Did you give her Steve's website? Is she computer savvy?
Yeah.
Like Hogue. Where's Hogue go? Where'd Hogue go? Oh, is it? That is so neat. That is just awesome. That's exciting. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for your word and your truth. Thankful for these that have mentioned prayer requests. And may we remind ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ to lift those up who are facing surgery or who are facing things that sometimes really affect the mind and the body. And God, we know your grace is sufficient. I'm thankful for John's mother, who is just receiving the word and understanding it. And I pray, God, that we remember to lift her up. And God, for Anna's friend and their family, God, that we just remember them. And of course, Abby's papaw and the Giles family. God, I just pray this morning that we would remind ourselves from where we get our peace. Those things are important, knowing that they're spiritual things. And God, that we could just rejoice in the fact of knowing that that you have already given us blessings in heavenly places. We give you all the glory. I pray as we open your word that it would be clear to us and that we would have understanding. And we just thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 11, and I won't get as far as we have the last few weeks because I'm just going to slow down and talk about some things in this verse. But right off the bat, I'd like to read. This week, I'm probably teaching something y'all know, but I was excited because this week there's some things that I saw that I knew that I've even heard Steve Atwood teach on, and it just kind of made sense, but it was like, this week, it's just like it just really made sense to me. And I appreciate Steve Tackett, man. Sometimes he's like my sounding board every once in a while, and I'll give him a call and a shout, and we'll go through these scriptures, because sure, I don't want to come in here and say, well, no, you missed this part, you know? So that's kind of embarrassing. So just to make sure that I wasn't reading something into something, I'll do that off and on, and I'll bug others every from time to time, but this is really just enlightening to me when we start talking about some things about foreknowledge. And the Apostle Paul brings it up in verse 2, how God foreknew. But before we get there, we're going to cover at least 6 verses and then go back to it. But this is probably just one of my favorite studies I've had in a while. This week. So Romans 11, verse 1 through 6. Now this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. We read these six verses, and I'll tell you, the more I read them this week, and through chapter 11, just the more sense it made. And so we're going to just pick a little bit of it apart, so we know where we're at before we get deep into this chapter. And if you look at Romans 11:1, the first three words he says is, I say then. Well, when somebody says, have you ever had anybody just go on and on and on and on, and you think, man, how long are they going to keep talking about this? And finally, a lot of times they'll go, I say then. They've built up to everything they've said to make their closing remarks a lot of times when they say, I say then. And then when we get to chapter 11, we know in chapter 9 and chapter 10, there's been history about the nation of Israel. Just like if you go back to Romans chapter 2, you see history again about Israel. So this is important that we know when he says, I say then, what he's been talking about. So you never can go wrong by reviewing just a little bit. Because of what all he has already said from the previous two chapters, he has been sharing the history of those, and you got to remember this, not as an individual, but as the nation of Israel, and where they once come from, and where they were at, and where they're at now. And we're just going to look at a couple of verses in those two chapters to remind ourselves why the Apostle Paul says, I say then, and I think these are verses that we need to keep in mind as we look at chapter 11. So if you go back to chapter 9 and look at verse 31. In 9:31, the Apostle Paul says, But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because, verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, and that's what Mark was talking about last week, they were real good and zealous following the laws, and it showed how great they were in front of others. They could compare themselves and how great they were. That was one of the best, just a great comment that Mark made last week. But their issue was their faith. Their issue was trusting that Jesus was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah. So much they were so caught up into the law, they didn't recognize the Messiah. And so, in verse 32, he says, Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And so, here's the issue that where you can see if you go to chapter 11, Paul says, I say then, in other words, because of this. Well, also look at chapter 10 and look at verse 2 and 3. The Apostle Paul says, For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So you could see easily where Paul could say, I say then. Okay? In verse 3 he says, For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Although they had a zeal for God, but it wasn't after the knowledge that they had or the faith, and they had stumbled about their own righteousness is what they had done. And that's what Paul was saying here. And they weren't submissive under the righteousness of God, which was Jesus Christ, being submissive unto Christ. And so he says in chapter 11, I say then. So those things fit. Go to 10:14. Yes.
Okay.
That's no big deal. No, you want to go put it up?
I
do. All right.
I'd love to story.
Yeah, don't interrupt me, Paul. Hey, look. Elliot's been back 1 week. And Brandon's already... I'm kidding. That's all right. All right. Chapter 10:14. In verse 14, let's look at Paul say, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So he can say, I say then, these things all fit. Go to verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esau said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So he says then, and then one more verse, look at verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So we see in chapter 9 and 10 the issues that Israel had, who really was not all Israel. There was the flock, but there was also that nation Israel that was not obedient, that did not notice the righteousness of God, that was more zealous about the law than they were of Christ coming, that they were more about their own righteousness and what they had done. And so now we're at chapter 11, and Paul's given this history, and he goes, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. And that makes sense, because you would think, if you start reading this letter, think of yourself reading this letter, or this letter being read, okay, and you're thinking, man, they're just out of the boat. They're done. God is, He is through with them. And then that's what Paul is saying. Look, because I've said this, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. Now you can see here, we're after reading 9 and 10, that a person can feel this way. But let's remember a few things as I thought about this. Feelings are not what's so important. Instead, you got to look at truth. And I used to find myself in chapter 9 and 10 picking out these verses that can move somebody. Picking out these verses that I could show somebody what they needed to do. And it was the very thing that Paul was talking about, what they had done in chapter 9 and chapter 10. It was, for years, you know, if the altar was full, I knew exactly where to take him. And I was using Scripture out of context. And so it's just a lesson learned. When Paul says, I say then, you've got to know why he is saying what he's saying. And in saying that, when we were in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and going through this, Romans never made more sense to me than it does now. You know why? Because I'm reading the whole letter. And I just challenge you guys, as we go through this, read that letter. Read it, because it builds. It is something that builds upon itself. Nobody picks up a letter and just starts reading in the middle of the letter. That'd be crazy to do that, you know. We just don't do it. So why do we do it when we come into the Word of God? Now, I can do a lot of things now because I've read other letters and I know what they're talking about beforehand. But I say that just to challenge you guys, just to pick up your Word and just to start reading it, it's important to know who and what and why and when and where. All those things matter when it comes to bringing this Bible to life. It's a living Bible, and it is living and breathing today, and it's what establishes us. And the only way that we can defend it is when we see where the Apostle Paul says, I say then, we got to know what he's been talking about. And so I just want to stop tonight, because we've gone through a lot of chapters quick, and challenge you guys, studying this Word is important so you know who it's talking about. Because 9, 10, and 11... or the ammunition I had as a Presbyterian, and when I wasn't a Presbyterian, as I became a Baptist. So, I mean, you could use it in any way, but now you can defend it because you know what it talks about. So 9, 10, 11, Paul is saying, hence from 9 and 10, I say then, hath God cast away His people? Because we saw all this stuff that Israel had not done or had done. Okay? As a nation. And he says, God forbid. And we know why. Look at the rest of verse 1. Let's just look at it again. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. And he gives a perfect example of how He hasn't cast away His people. He says, for I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You must remember here again that Paul is still speaking as a nation of Israel. And he knew where he came from and who he was. And God didn't cast him away. Instead, God gave him the revelation of the mystery. You know what Paul's hope is? You remember what Paul's hope is in chapter 10, verse 1? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, we also know at this point how could those that weren't part of the flock be saved? It's by the dispensation that Paul was preaching today, right? And he had a heart for these people. Let's look at verse 2, 3, and 4 together real quick. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed Thy prophets and digged down Thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. There was a point here in verse 3 where he is reminding these that are reading this letter how Elijah felt alone at the point where he was with Baal and that nobody else was with him. Okay? And he's given this example of where God has not cast away His people. Okay? And he says in verse 3, Lord, this is what Elijah had said, Lord, they have killed Thy prophets and digged down Thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? When Elijah talked to God, what did he say? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here it is. He says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So we see here's a remnant here, wasn't there? There was a remnant. There was foreknowledge all the way back in the Old Testament of a group that God had reserved, right? And you see that. And so here's this picture that Paul's given about these, where he says, I say then about this nation of Israel, okay? And he's about to separate what that flock was, okay? And he says in verse 5, even so then, at this present time, and by the way, that's where we're at today. He still has to this day, because until the times of refreshing, that remnant is right now reserved. There's a reservation. And I don't know why, but just as soon as I said reservation, I thought about old gospel songs about the rest. They're so bad. Anyway, even so then, I'm about to start to sing it. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And so, this remnant is according to the election of grace. Now, in verse 2, 3, and 4, Paul's giving this example of Elijah. Elijah one time felt alone when he faced with idolatry of Baal. And then he found that God had others that were faithful at that time also. And then we see at verse 5, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, we read in verse 2 where he says, God hath not cast away His people. Well, this answers it with verse 5 also. This remnant, God did not cast... And by the way, all those who weren't part of the flock, God didn't cast them away. They made a choice to follow the works of righteousness and have a zeal of their own righteousness and missed the faith that was Christ. They missed the Messiah. They blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. You can go back to, is it Acts chapter 7 where Stephen is stoned? And it's a part that Stephen went through the whole history of this promise and they rejected the promise. And so it wasn't a matter of God casting them. It was a matter of they were blind for their own righteousness. Because if he had cast them away, he would have casted all of Israel. But not all of Israel was Israel. Was that chapter 9 when we saw that not all Israel is Israel? I keep mentioning that, and I'd like to just
chapter 9, verse 6.
Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. We know within this nation of Israel there were those who died in their faith. And because of grace, there's a remnant. Okay? It was by the election of grace. Christ chose them. Why? Because of their faith brought works of righteousness, and they trusted who Christ was, that He was the Messiah. And it was not... Here's the thing, that when you read this in verse 6, it was not because they possessed all these works. It was because of their faith they did those works. Okay? It wasn't because God says, well, they've been faithful, so I'm going to give grace to them. It was because of grace that they were saved. And their works were produced because they trusted who Christ was, because they followed the statutes of God, because they feared God. And they feared God, so they didn't do it for their own righteousness. You know, if it wasn't by the election of grace, it would have been by what they did. Right? This flock was not saved because they produced works of their own, and it was like there was this list that they followed. They couldn't do it. That list did nothing but show them they were damned. That's all that list did. We read that in chapter 3. And so, it's easy to get these verses confused. Just as those in times past that God had reserved, here there is a remnant that is saved even to this present day. That flock that was faithful had received grace. They feared God. This would be the Israel that is really Israel. Go ahead.
When you're talking there about Matthew 16, where Jesus actually gave Peter the keys to the kingdom.
No, I wasn't. But that's a great point. Yeah. You know, great point. Matthew 16.
I think it's 16.
Yes. Let's just go there. Excuse me.
And again, I think this is just an area that shows that Paul understands that other system and what it was meant to do, and he's clarifying.
Where is it at?
16, verse 18.
Yeah. Look at 17 and 18. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And it's just that's a great example right there. Those who didn't believe were really not Israel, even though they were from that nation. Look at verse 6, 11:6. This makes more sense if you understand verse 5. But if you just go to that verse, you can miss what Paul says when he says, I say then. Verse 6 says, And if by grace, and remember what he said, according to the election of grace in verse 5. And he says, And if by grace, then is it no more of works. So Christ saved them, okay, that remnant, that reservation, that remnant, that flock, is saved by grace. Okay? It wasn't by their works that saved them, but because they were chosen, because they're that remnant, and because of their faith, it produced works. Does that make sense? That's the best way to explain it. But it says, And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. So they didn't save themselves because they were better than somebody else, because they did the best works. A lot of times you can get caught up into seeing how Israel is having a physical kingdom, and they did physical. It was still by grace. But their grace produced, their faith produced works. Where today, our faith doesn't produce any works. Right? It ain't about what, you know, that we, it's because Christ did it all. We trust that He did it all. And they feared God. That's why they did that. Because why? They would face judgment. It could be immediate, right?
You're saying that they had to do those works to obtain their salvation, but it was because of their faith is why they did it.
The issue was their faith. They trusted in God.
Their faith, not their works. But those works had to be done.
It's exactly what happens in James. Okay. When you go to the book of James chapter 2.
Just adding to that point, we look at, say, like Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In the context, what they have to do is they have to believe. Somebody can be baptized and not believe.
Still not believe.
And there's no salvation for them.
That's what Mark brought up the other week that I just thought was a great comment. Really made it, really just was really good in chapter 10, the fact that those guys did great works. And they were, this is very noticeable what they did, but it wasn't because of their faith at all. It was, go ahead.
So you believe that this is specifically speaking of Peter's flock?
I don't know. I haven't studied that enough. I believe it's the fact that I believe the remnant is the flock.
Luke 12:32 actually says a little flock.
Yeah.
Is given to the kingdom.
Yeah, I believe that remnant in chapter in chapter 11 verse 5 is that flock. I do believe that.
Well, I just wonder why, you know, Paul makes that statement. Well, I'm an Israelite too.
I think
so. Are we talking about Peter's flock, or are we talking about those Jews who were then saved in his time strictly by the gospel of grace?
I see that where he says the point of he was a Jew too is the fact that God did not cast away the nation of Israel. I'm still a nation of Israel, and they were to be saved by Paul's gospel now. But I believe when he talks about that remnant, I believe he's talking about that flock. What I believe.
I believe that's consistent with the rest of the chapter.
Yeah. We'll and read that this week and tell me your thoughts. But I believe it's clear that Paul wanted them to know who he was from, and that God didn't cast them away. And those that didn't believe in God, they cast themselves. And if you look at if go on to verse 6, it says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works?" I think he's making a point that also that flock, it wasn't because of their works that saved them, but they produced works.
And in fact, in the Matthew scripture that we read, two or three verses above that, Jesus was actually testing their faith. He was saying, "Who am I to you?"
Yeah.
Not only to the nation of Israel, but who am I to you personally?
Yeah.
And they had to answer that, "You're the Christ."
I mean, I don't know, but I know that Peter says, "By works of righteousness." And a little later on in James, you see how man is not justified by faith only, but by works of righteousness. I mean, their emphasis was still, yes, there was faith, but it was works.
That's right.
But 6 is kind of saying, no more works.
It says, by the election of grace, by their grace, it says, then is it no more of works? That remnant was set aside. That reservation wasn't because of their works. It was because Christ made the election of grace to them. He was the perfect sacrifice. Right? And it wasn't their works that got them saved. It was their works where they died in their faith, or where they were still following the statutes. And Peter never changed his message. Even when Christ had died on the cross, and he preached that Christ had died on the cross, this man that you crucified. And we'll touch on that in a minute.
And the reason the works didn't work is because, remember, the whole program of salvation was on a national basis.
That's right.
So it's true individuals had works to do, but it's those works that were reflected nationally that caused
And the way I read it is the fact where he says, according to the election of grace, all their sacrifices weren't enough. It was the election of grace, and it was foreknowledge that God knew what He was going to do. But they still followed their statutes, or they would face judgment.
But so what if they, I mean, if it's just by grace, if I see what Mark said, what if they decided not to? I mean, were they...
Well, you read many scriptures in Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I don't know exactly where they are, but it talks about they're cast into outer darkness. They fell from their faith. There were many that he speaks of one time of the servant that became lazy. And what happened? Where there is weeping and gnashing and wailing, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And at one time, who was he? If what about those in the beginning that followed God and then fell away from God? They continued, or they would be judged for what they did.
I guess.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I disagree with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
But even in Revelation, when he writes to the churches, I know by works. Works is still required.
I never would think that works is not required.
Does the Spirit say it was solely grace and no works for this remnant?
That remnant, that remnant is saved by grace just like we are today. It's the grace of God. That there was grace, if you go back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, there was grace there.
Sure.
Right?
Grace is always
there. I understand that, but they aren't saved like you and
I are. Absolutely not. I never said they were. But
did
I said
that.
No, I didn't. I said, even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. That remnant was according to the election of grace. It was God's grace. If you go back to verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him, I have reserved to myself. In the same way, there was a remnant, and I want to tell you what, he reserved them. Was that grace? It was grace. It wasn't because they did great works that he said, you know what, I'm going to reserve these. But they feared God. And if they feared God, they followed works. But they're a remnant because of the election of grace, is what I said. But it's a great, great topic, you know. Anything else? This is what I love about Wednesday nights. Let's think. These are great things. And we'll go back to it if you see something next week. Hey, let's go back. If I miss something, I want to know. I really do. But I believe the issue of reservation and the issue of this remnant is from the foreknowledge of God, and it's grace.
Let me another comment. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Verse 29, it says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized in him. What I believe that's saying very clearly is that they justified, they didn't justify themselves, but they justified God. In other words, they're agreeing with God that God is right. Therefore, they were baptized. And by saying, I don't believe what God is saying, I'm not going to get baptized. But they justified God by doing the work. They're saying God is right. It wasn't that the work itself saved them.
No.
But they were saying God is right. I agree with God. And the Pharisees said no.
And in the same way with our salvation today is we trust in exactly what Christ did. And by us trusting what He did, we don't add anything to our salvation. But because they did believe, they did those works. But it was still by grace.
You know, the difference, though, is that those folks, if they did not continue in the works, would fall out of the grace of God.
Absolutely. And I,
even if our works fail, we still have a spirit that is saved.
And I don't want to be out of context, I believe where there is a place where it talks about God casting that person into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing. It was the issue because he had become lazy, because he didn't fear God and he didn't follow his works. And I believe that's the picture of it. And we'll get into that another time because I don't want to be out of context. But I believe that was... The reason I remember that is that's the very argument that me and the church I was at last time where he came in and made this... Where this guy was... just barely made it into heaven. And he was still in heaven, but he could see and he was so sorrowful that he could see. It was just crazy. At that point, it was about 2 weeks later that I was no longer there. It was just done. You know. But anyway, that's okay. Great comment, Mark. I appreciate that. And again, if there's something that I missed, let me know. Wednesday nights, I like this because there's a lot of things that I'll tell you I don't know. But we saw that remnant received grace. Now, their faith brought works. Their works did nothing. Their works did nothing to earn that grace. It would have never been enough. They couldn't have done enough. If you remember last week, verse 10, Paul had mentioned in the first few verses that the law was more important than faith. And look at verse 3 and 4. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If they needed to go about their own righteousness to receive this grace, okay, they wouldn't have had to measure up to the righteousness of God. They were ignorant. They did not submit to what was the righteousness of God. You know what it was? It was Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 4 is those who were the remnant. It was the end of the law for righteousness. When it came to righteousness, they still followed the statutes of God. I want to back up now, and we'll cover the rest of that later. Gosh, it's already been 37 minutes. Man, there was something that's so good that... y'all give me a few minutes. There's some stuff that I saw in foreknowledge of God that I've never seen before. It was just exciting to me because I've used 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 and 16 a whole lot. And where it deals with... Where Peter is talking to them about reading Paul's epistles. You know, when I got to thinking, well, if Paul was talking to Israel, why would he say that? Well, I'm going to tell you what. When I started doing a study on foreknowledge and this verse 2, it just led me to 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I'm going to tell you what, I started reading more of Peter and saw why these things were the way. And I just thought it was neat. So I'll go pretty quick. But this word for new fits perfect with some other scriptures. Go to verse 2, chapter 11, verse 2. And then we're going to take a little journey real quick. Verse 2 says, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. And then that, what ye not, know ye not, in other words, but that foreknew is a big issue with a lot of people. Because they individualize it as if God foreknew you and He foreknew. I mean, Christians today, take that verse. Presbyterians today, I was it for 18 years about how He foreknew that this predestination. But he's talking about this nation of Israel that he foreknew. Okay? He didn't cast them away. They didn't trust that he was the Messiah. But if you go, I'm going to show you some other things where many people foreknew stuff. That foreknow is not a huge word. It just means they knew. Now some knew because of what happened. Some didn't have a clue because God foreknew it before the world. But I'll tell you what, let me show you a few scriptures. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. We're going to read through 23. Look what Peter says in this letter. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, as from your lifestyle, from your meaningless lifestyle, received by tradition from your father. So there's another picture that redemption, those that were saved, that remnant, okay, that flock that saved, it wasn't by the tradition of their fathers, by doing all those things, those things. And he says, verse 19, but, this is why, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now here's a picture. If you're not careful when you read 1 Peter, you're thinking, or I was. You may not be, but I used to read that and I thought, well, hold it then. Peter's preaching the same thing that Paul preached. Well, no, he's not. Peter, of course, if you look at the board here, it's very clear that he never wrote to those things pertaining to the revelation of the mystery. Peter is some prophecy and some history of things that went on. And let's remember when Peter's writing, what happened in Acts chapter 2? What did Peter think what was going on? And it just may have been. That was what? The tribulation. I mean, he thought, this is it. We're going to go through this tribulation. Okay? And so Peter did believe that Jesus died on the cross. He did believe that Jesus was resurrected. He just didn't preach that Christ died for their sins. The issue was that you crucified Him. Remember, Paul preached that He died for you. There's a big difference there. But anyway, in here in 1 Peter where he says, in verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last... What do you think Peter thought? This is it. This is these last times. We're going through this now. Okay? And you can follow a lot of these letters by going to Acts and seeing them come to life. And he says in verse 21, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I mean, they were going to go through these last days of this time, and your faith and your hope better be in God, that He is taking care of it, okay? Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. There's that picture. We never see Paul write about us being born again, right? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, there's no doubting that Peter believed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, right? Also, but it wasn't preached as Paul preached it. He continued in the gospel of the kingdom, didn't he? What did he talk about there?